Good morning, everyone. It's really good to see everyone and be together. Let's read God's word together. It's found today in Exodus chapter 16. And we're going to continue from verse 21 all the way to verse 36. Exodus chapter 16, verse 21 to 36. Let us read. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath, rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." Verse 27, "Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gave you the bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day." The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so that they can see the bread I gave to you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to keep for the generations to come." As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. An omer is 1/10 of an ephah. God bless the reading of his word, and we look forward to hearing Pastor speak on this word. Thank you.
Good night. Just bear with me while I climb into this sleeping bag. You might be wondering why I'm getting into a sleeping bag this morning. It's not just because it's a bit chilly, although it is quite nice and warm in here. Let's just get this on properly. Why am I in a sleeping bag this morning? Well, it's a simple answer, and the answer is the basic lesson, the ABC that we're going to learn today, is all about rest. It's all about rest. Here's the basic lesson we're going to learn together. The Lord gives us rest. You might have to click on for me there. Let's see if I can. You'll have to do it for me from this point on. The Lord gives us rest. In this part of God's word that was just read to us, God's people are introduced to the idea of Sabbath. A day of rest. Although we'll see that this idea of Sabbath is not just about sleep or about having a physical rest. We're going to see it's much bigger and much better than that. Do you know, we live lives that are probably busier than any time in history before us. Busier lives than ever before. And we probably don't think enough about God's rest. But in the Bible, rest is a really big deal. It's a huge theme. In fact, it starts right at the very beginning, in the very first chapters of the Bible, the very first story, all about how God made the world. You'll remember the story. God made the world by speaking. On the first day, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. On the second day, God made the sky and the sea. Let's stick this up there. Will that stay? Second day, God made the sky and the sea. The third day, God made the trees and the plants. It's not sticking. There you go. On fourth day, what did God make? He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the fifth day, God made the animals in the sea and in the sky, the birds and the fish. On the sixth day, God made the animals on the land, the land animals and human beings. And what did God do on the seventh day? Don't worry, I'm looking at the edge of the stage there. What did God do on the seventh day? God rested. Now, why did God, what was God tired? No, the Bible says that the Lord is the everlasting God. He does not grow tired or weary. He has no need to slumber or to sleep. So God did not rest on the seventh day because he was achy and he was exhausted after a long, hard week at work and he thought, oh, I just need to put my feet up. God rested to weave into the fabric of creation this pattern of rest. One day in seven. Now, in the Bible, rest is both physical and spiritual refreshment. Rest is time off your normal, hard, painful work. Time which then gives you space to worship, space where you can enjoy God's word and God's presence. That's what it was like for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve enjoyed this continual, settled, peaceful rest. But then they sinned. And rest was shattered, and work became hard and painful. And ever since then, life is hard. Whether we're talking about the kind of jobs that you get paid for not, for all of us, life is just hard. And yet, even in a fallen world, this creation pattern of rest remains. And it gives us a hint of where we're heading. So just as God's work in creation moved forward and culminated on day seven with rest, so for God's people, we also are heading somewhere. We're heading for rest. In a sense, rest is the goal of creation, for all things to be settled and at peace and at rest with God. God's people are on a journey to destination rest. God's people are on a journey heading towards destination rest. Let me shuffle over here and put that up here. This was true for God's people in the Old Testament. So here in Exodus, the Israelites are on a journey to destination rest. You might remember, they've just been rescued from Egypt. They've come through the Red Sea. And we know that they're heading towards Mount Sinai. But beyond Sinai, they're moving forward to the Promised Land. The Promised Land, which is described by Moses as their resting place. They're on their way to destination rest. It's also true for God's people today. We are on a journey to destination rest. After Jesus finished his work on the cross, his work of dying in the place of sinners, when his work was done, Jesus rested on the Sabbath in the tomb. And then he rose again on the first day of a new week. He was bringing about a new era for God's people, an era of rest. Because of the resurrection, we have the hope of rest. By believing in Jesus, we become part of his people and we join that journey to destination rest. We're heading for heaven, which is described in Hebrews 4 as our Sabbath rest, where all things will be settled and at peace and at rest with God. So, God's people in the Old Testament and God's people today are on a journey to destination rest. Let me get out of this thing now. I think you've got the point. God's people are on a journey to destination rest. But here's the thing. Rest is not just something for the future. Rest is something for now. Along the way to destination rest, God gives his people pit stops, regular pit stops, as a taster of the rest to come. If we go on a family holiday, it's always somewhere within the UK, and so that normally means a long car journey. And so we have a tradition, on the way to holiday, we will stop off at a service station and all have a McDonald's. And that McDonald's is kind of like the start of the holiday. We're not there yet. We haven't reached our destination, but we're getting a kind of a taster of the treats and the fun that we're going to be having. That pit stop is like the start of the destination that we're going to enjoy. And that's what it's like for God's people. Regular pit stops along the journey, so that before they get to destination rest, he's going to give them a regular taster of what's to come. And for the people of God in the Old Testament, I'll come back to that. For the people of God in the Old Testament, here in Exodus, that those pit stops are the Sabbaths, the day of rest, one day a week, where they could start living as if they were already in the promised land. And we're introduced to this idea of Sabbath here in Exodus chapter 16, where we learn three things about what the Sabbath should be like. So the first is this. The first is that it should be a day that's different. A day that's different. There's on your sheet if you want to fill that one in. The Sabbath was designed to be a day that's different. Last week, we heard about how God provided daily bread for his people. Each morning, they would go out and they would gather 2 liters of manna per person, and that would last them for the day. And then take a look at verse 21. It's up on the screen. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. But then, on the sixth day, on day six, they gathered twice as much, so 2 of these bottles per person. Why? Verse 23. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left, and keep it till the morning." Tomorrow, God says, is going to be a day of rest. And do you see how it's described in that verse? As a holy Sabbath. Holy. That means to be set apart, to be different from all of the rest. So day 7 was supposed to be different from the others. How? Verse 26, here's the next verse. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Normally, if they kept the manna overnight, do you remember what happened to the manna overnight? It got all stinky and it got all maggoty. Don't worry, I've not got any maggots today. But if they left the manna overnight, it would get all horrible and they couldn't eat it the next morning. But God provided double so that they could have a day that's different. On day 6, when they kept it overnight, they woke up on day 7 and it was still fine. There was no maggots to be seen, still good to eat. God wanted to give them a day that's different, a day of rest instead of work. Second, the Sabbath was to be a day that's devoted, a day to be given to the Lord. So in verse 23 and in verse 25, we don't have it up on the screen, but in both of those verses, the Sabbath is described as a Sabbath to the Lord, a Sabbath to the Lord. God gave them this day of rest so that they could give the day to him. He freed them from the normal business of life to create space where they could remember the rescue and be refreshed in their God. By stopping their work, the Israelites expressed faith in God, a day that was dedicated to him. You see, the Sabbath wasn't just a holiday, it was a holy day, the Lord's day, devoted to him. And as this idea of Sabbath develops, it quickly becomes the main day of worship, the main day for gathering as God's people, hearing as God, from God's word, being in God's presence. Certainly for Jesus, he saw the Sabbath as the appropriate day to go to the synagogue, to hear from God's word. It was supposed to be a day that's devoted. And then third, this day was a day that was supposed to be delightful, a delightful day. And I get that word from Isaiah 58, which talks about calling the Sabbath a delight. That's what it's supposed to be. Something to love and to enjoy. That's why God says in verse 29, and I think we've got this one up on the screen. Can you see there? He said, bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. It is a gift, not a burden. It's supposed to be enjoyed, not endured. It's not like he says, right, okay, on the Sabbath, you're not allowed to work. So, sorry, you're just going to have to go without any food on Sabbath. That's just the way it is. I'm a stingy God. I need you to. He gave them double on the day before so that they could have a day off, a day where they could rest and enjoy his goodness. So this Sabbath is a weekly pit stop on the journey to destination rest, to give you a taster of paradise, of the promised land. So it's a day to be enjoyed. You know, for God's people back then, and often actually for God's people today, this idea of a day of rest can quickly become a sort of joyless duty. But it's not supposed to be. Like Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This is God's gift to us, to serve us and to bless us. It's not supposed to be, it's not like a rubbish day where, oh, Sabbath, that's just a day where there's loads of stuff that I'm not allowed to do. It's supposed to be the best day of the week where we can enjoy God's goodness and God's world and God's blessing and God's word and God's people, God's rest. That's what the Sabbath is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a day that's different, devoted and delightful. However, verse 27, nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Perhaps they didn't trust God to provide, or perhaps they were just greedy for a bit more than their extra 2 liters that they had saved over. Either way, they refused to receive God's good gift of rest. And do you know what? That's a really big deal. In fact, this command to keep the Sabbath is so basic and so foundational that as you read the rest of the Old Testament, it kind of acts as a spiritual thermometer to check the spiritual health of the Israelites. This is one of the main ways of measuring whether the Israelites were faithful and keeping to God's commands, whether they were walking with God or not. Are they keeping the Sabbath? It was kind of like a way of measuring that faithfulness, their spiritual health. If they can't receive God's good gift of rest, if they can't trust him enough to stop working for one day, if it's not a priority to devote a day to his word and to his worship, if we're too busy for God or too lazy for God, that is a red flag warning sign of our spiritual temperature, our spiritual health. So for the Old Testament people of God, the people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, the Lord gave them the Sabbath, one day a week, as pit stops along the journey to destination rest. And for us today, the Lord has also given us tasters of the rest to come. The first way that we get to enjoy God's rest now is very simply by coming to Jesus. Jesus is the one who came to put right what went wrong in the Garden of Eden. through his turmoil, Jesus restores the rest that sin shattered. Through his death and his resurrection, he paid for sin and he conquered death and he reversed the curse. He made the way for us to be able to have that kind of settled, peaceful, restful walk with God that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden. So that everyone who comes to him and believes in him can enter into eternal rest where all things will be settled and at peace and at rest with God. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke from me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We do not receive God's rest by working hard. You know, in the way that we might think, I'm going to work really hard now so that I can earn a restful retirement. That's not how it works. This is something that is God's gift. Rest is received as we come to Jesus and believe in Jesus. Are you searching for rest? Rest for your tired and troubled soul? Come to Jesus. You will get a taster now of the rest that is to come. But I think there's another way that we today can get tasters of the rest that is coming in the future. As the New Testament people of God, we are no longer bound under the Old Testament Sabbath regulations. But as we've seen today, this pattern is actually woven into the fabric of creation. And so this principle of a 1 in 7 day of rest still applies. We should enjoy from God a day that's different, devoted, and delightful. For the Jews, the Sabbath was a Saturday. For the early Christians, the Lord's Day shifted to a Sunday, the day of Jesus' resurrection. That became the day when people would leave their work to one side and meet with God's people around God's word. Historically, in this country and in many others, observing the Lord's Day in this way was a priority. And for many of us, Sunday remains the best day to set aside to the Lord. I know that's not possible for all of us all of the time. Perhaps some of you are watching this on catch-up because you were working today. In some jobs, that's necessary. If you are working on a Sunday, probably means you have a day off later on in the week. And I think some of these same principles apply. Or maybe you'll say, well, I'm not working. I don't have a kind of employed job, a job that I'm paid for. Or you say, my work is in the home. I'm a mum or something like that. Are you suggesting that I should have a day off feeding my kids one day a week? That's not what I'm saying. But I think for each of us, as we take our different circumstances and different settings, let's think about those and apply these three principles into our situation. A taster of destination rest, 1 day in 7, let's set aside a day that is different, devoted, and delightful. So whatever your circumstances, are there things that you can do to make one day different from the others? Even when you are snowed under with work or with assignments, let me encourage you to take a full day off that work as an act of faith to rely on God's provision, to remember that he is the creator, but we are creatures. He doesn't need to rest, but we do. And we can rest in his arms, trusting that when we clock off, God is still going to be able to keep the world running without us. Perhaps one of the things that stops us from having a proper day of rest is that we're always striving for more. In the same way that the Israelites went out on day 7, even though they'd got leftovers from the day before, but they just want to kind of top up what they had. Perhaps God wants us to learn contentment, to learn trust that tomorrow he will provide daily bread. Are there other ways that you could make Sunday or a day different? Perhaps you could, simple things, like you could plan to do laundry on a Saturday so that on a Sunday you don't have your usual household chores. so that you can enjoy rest from whatever it is that normally fills the other 6 days. Let's set aside a day that's different. And let's make that a devoted day, like we read in that psalm, "My soul finds rest in God alone." The best way to refuel and to recharge is to spend time with the Lord. What could you do to make that day a day that's devoted to the Lord? Not just the time that we spend at church. Sometimes we think, okay, we've done the God bit, now it's the rest of the day, we can just do whatever. Why don't we think about how we can make the whole day devoted to the Lord? Maybe you could choose to read different books, or listen to different music, or watch different stuff, or have a break from watching TV. Not because you have to, not because this is a rule. If you don't do this, then, you know, you're going to die. But because we want to. We want to make the most of a day that's devoted to the Lord. I don't think we're going to miss out by spending more time with Jesus. So let's have a day that's different, devoted, and make sure it's a delightful day. Make sure it's the best day of the week. What could you do to fill your day, whether that be a Sunday or a different day off, to fill that day with tasters of paradise, things that you look forward to and delight in, ways of delighting in God's world and his creation. I know some people who make special cakes that only come out on a Sunday tea time, or others who perhaps have a weekly tradition of, with their kids, that's the day when they get Sunday sweets, and so it becomes a special day that everyone looks forward to. There's all sorts of things we could do to make the day of rest a day that's delightful. Wouldn't it be great if everyone in your family knew that your day of rest was the best day of the week? Not one where they thought, oh, that's the day I can't do this, that and the other. But the day they're waiting for and longing for. You know, that would be right. That would be fitting with what the Sabbath is supposed to be. Our God is not a stingy God. Instead, he invites us to enjoy his good gift because he is the creator. And as we enjoy his creation, we can worship him as the creator. You know, I think that I personally, as I've spent time in this part of God's word this week, I think that I personally, and perhaps for others of us in this room, out of a desire to not be legalistic about Sabbath, have perhaps lost something of the joy of what a day of rest is supposed to be. The Lord gives us rest. Isn't he kind? So let us come to Jesus to find that rest. And let us enjoy these regular pit stops along the way. Devoted, different, and delightful days. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your goodness and your kindness to us, that you have provided rest for our souls in Jesus. And in a crazy and a busy world, in a crazy and busy life that we all lead, thank you that you've given us these regular tasters of the eternal rest that's to come. Help us, Lord, to trust you enough to receive that gift, to rest in you. Forgive us for the times where we strive for more when we should be content in what you've given us. Forgive us for when we don't trust you enough to switch off and we feel like we need to be in control. Thank you that you're the one in control of the whole universe and we can rest in you. So refresh us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.